charge here. That's what the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 203. Jamie.
I can't believe it. 203. We're past 200.
The Brooklyn Boys, we just recorded, right before this, we recorded episode 194, and Scary and I were talking about how we're close to 200. I'm like, yeah, but Walkers and Talkers, is it 203? Like, we're over. We passed it.
We did it.
Yeah, we're over. Oh, before I forget, we are getting the t-shirts sent out this week. If you ordered a Walkers and Talkers t-shirt, it's being mailed out this week.
Woo! Yes.
My boy Matt at brooklynboys.bigcartel.com gave me the total number of shirts ordered. Thank you, Walkers and Talkers fans.
Thank you, Slices, guys.
Brooklyn Boys fans, who also ordered when I promoted it on that show as well. So we appreciate the support. So, yeah, get them at brooklynboys.bigcartel.com while they still have the, they have to order at least another 12 to get the machine going again.
Oh, okay.
So let's get that going.
Let's get it going. Let's print them up.
Yeah, Jamie will post a picture of herself wearing the shirt when she gets hers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, she will. Okay, so we're juggling multiple Walking Dead shows right now. We've got
yes, we are.
We've got World Beyond and Fear the Walking Dead. If you don't have AMC Plus, then you're not jumping ahead. Are you ahead? Are you jumping ahead? Are you at episode 2 already of Fear?
No, I didn't watch it yet.
I've watched all 3 episodes of World Beyond, I think.
I watched.
Okay, you did watch that. You're all caught up.
Yeah.
I have not jumped ahead on that. And I haven't jumped ahead on Fear. So I'm trying to keep it to the people that don't have AMC Plus to keep it in the same week, if that's okay.
For the people.
Not going to do a full breakdown of World Beyond. I don't love the show. It had moments. But again, the cast is so small. Nobody on the value is going to die until maybe like the last couple episodes. Right? You can't kill one of 6 people.
It is so small. It's so tiny that if one of them died, it'd be like drastic.
Right. There's only 2 seasons, so... They needed another kid to leave with them, and then that kid died. They needed for, like, the kid
just
to
like
last.
Just, like, one extra, a red shirt kid.
A red shirt who like, you know, Tommy. Come on, Tommy. Tommy, look out! Oh, Tommy!
Oh, no, Tommy!
Right, but they didn't do that. They didn't do that. I would have thought, like, Silas would have been that guy, or Elton, with his Tuffy suit.
Oh, his Tuffy Stitch.
His Tuffy Stitch saved his life.
I love that.
okay, so the episode, this was the interesting part of the episode. It starts off with a flashback with Huck, or a.k.a. Jennifer, on a dock, on a lake, I guess, or somewhere, with a broken arm and a bloody cheek, and an old couple rescues her and takes her into Omaha, which is how she started her undercover journey.
Yes.
Pretending to be Huck, this injured girl, and whatever her backstory was. Percy and Elton come across a weird guy and girl couple who end up being brother and sister, who are camped out in the woods, and Percy can tell they must live in a community based on the fact they've got food and vegetables, and they're dressed well, and he analyzes them immediately.
They were clean, all that stuff.
So Percy's like, let's jump these people, get some food. And so Elton says, no, let me try talking to them. So he goes down and introduces himself, and he befriends them, and they give him food. And as they're giving him food, Percy is behind them, stealing out of their cart. Well, that's not smart.
I know, right in front of them. They gave you food,
They gave you a parsnip or a potato or something.
A turnip.
That's what it was. Yeah. And he's stealing. So now they got to run for their lives because these two people, they've been found out. They run into a wooded area. Elton falls down and walkers come up from under the ground. That are covered in flowers.
Yes.
It was cool. But of course, they don't kill anybody. And they get rescued by the brother and sister. Oh, this was the interesting thing. So one of them is biting on Elton's arm. And you're like, oh, Elton's going to lose his arm.
The girl's ready to chop it off.
The brother and sister don't even look to see if he's wounded.
Oh my God, I know.
And they throw him to the ground and they're about, if they did.
Oh my God.
And they're about to do the old arm cut off thing so the virus doesn't spread. And Percy's like, don't do it. And he's like, I'm not cut, I'm not bitten. And he has to show them he's wearing corduroy that's so thick that you can't bite through it.
I'm wearing Tuffy Stitch.
I'm calling corduroy bullshit that the walkers didn't bite Percy. They bit the kid wearing the corduroy that you can't bite through.
Of course.
So they tie the two of them up. And Asha, who's the sister, takes his corduroy from him and puts it on. She's like,
left him in his long johns.
Right. Well, if you're going to wear, you're going to steal from our food, we're going to take your clothing.
Yeah.
So they make a big deal about putting hoods on their head and going through an area where signs are like radiation, stay out. And it turns out they were only taking them to the farming community where the rest of the people are.
Yep.
Because somehow they ended up in the same area as everybody else, even though they split up and they almost died and they're on their own and Percy was wounded. And somehow in the vast expanse of the of going cross country, they end up in the same basic area.
They ended up watching them eat turnips and they just happened to stumble across it.
Right, right. Good thing. What is that? Do you have a race car in your house?
I think someone's drag racing outside my house.
What the hell's going on? Your TV's not on, so now you have a drag race going on.
I know. I turned the TV off, so now I have Fast and Furious outside my house.
All right. Well, there you go. As it happens, people. As it happens. So I'm gonna call Huck Jennifer for the rest of this. So
okay.
I'm gonna try. Jennifer sneaks out of CRM. She has to lie to get out, and she brings Hope to see Iris, her sister.
Yes.
She tries to convince her to come back to CRM, but Iris doesn't want to. Felix is hiding Will because CRM sent out a task force to kill Will's group. Because if you remember, Will wanted to go and see the communications tower or whatever, the satellite.
Yes.
Because he didn't believe Omaha just lost communications. He thought something more nefarious was going on, and he was right. So he says, look, you better hide because CRM's trying to kill you. Felix joins them, and he wants to kill Huck. He hates her.
And they used to be BFFs.
Right. Well, it was weird because he didn't want her to die, right? Later in the episode, he figures out that Percy is there because Percy and Elton are hiding. And Percy sees Jennifer Huck show up at night, of course.
Yep.
And he finds weapons, right? He knows where the weapons are kept, and he takes an automatic weapon, a rifle. And he's going to shoot her in the woods.
Oh, he looks like, if looks could kill, yep.
Yeah. Well, and his gun would kill because he's got the gun.
Yeah, and that.
Because he wants to kill her because she tried to kill him, remember? And he ran off.
Yeah.
She killed his traveling mate, the magician.
His uncle.
His uncle, right. It's been so long, right? She killed his uncle.
I know. I forgot about that.
And made it look like Silas killed the two of them.
So bad. So wrong.
He has it in for Huck. So even though Huck was trying to, bring them on board, it was her mission to kill everybody else.
It was.
And she was willing to do it. So I don't know. I know it's her mission and her mother's crazy, but I still feel like you can't do that, right? You can't.
No.
I don't care what her backstory is. Anyway, once Will and Felix realize that Percy's going to do this, they realize that Huck might be the key to getting into CRM, and they need her. They need her to, get information from.
Be the
and they
mole.
Feel like if he kills her, it'll bring a problem because this community is there under the observation and allowance of CRM.
Exactly.
Right? So he's in the woods. I'm calling just bullshit on the whole scene, but she's in the woods for no reason. Now, he didn't know she'd be walking around the woods for no reason.
No.
So he grabs a weapon and goes behind a tree or a rock or a tree. I don't remember. And he's got her in his sights. Why? How did he know she'd be walking in the woods by herself?
At that exact moment.
And he knew where to go to have her in his sights.
Of course. On this show, of course they do.
Last he saw her, she was in the middle of the street talking to everybody else. Now she's alone.
Hmm.
So every time he's about to shoot her, she walks behind something. A tree.
Of course.
This thing in the middle of nowhere that was, I don't know what it was. It was target practice. I don't know. She's walking and she's examining it. And every time he's about to shoot her. Now, look, you have an automatic weapon. You could run up and just.
Oh, yeah. And you wouldn't miss.
So he's trying to use this automatic sniper weapon. You could take her out. You don't have to shoot her from a distance. So as he's finally going to shoot her, Will and Huck jump in front of her. So he can't get a clean shot.
Oh,
now,
my God.
He doesn't know who Will is, so I'm not sure why he didn't also shoot Will. Right? He never met Will, to my recollection.
Not that I know.
And I don't think he's absolutely in love with Felix. He wouldn't shoot Felix. But he should have shot Will. I don't know why he didn't assume Will was part of CRM.
You would think anybody really there was kind of part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they stop him from doing that. And I guess Percy runs off in the woods because you don't see him again. Silas tries to escape the garbage dump of walkers he's working in.
Ooh.
And the other kids find him trying to escape. By the way, he's walking up the road to escape. Wouldn't you go in the trees or go at night?
I know. He was like, la, 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 right in the middle of the open space.
And he walks
space.
By their clubhouse, like their little room.
I know. Like, where are you going? God.
Are you trying to escape?
He's like, you're going to get caught. And you did.
He's like, no. Wouldn't you have a back? I know he's not the smartest guy on the show.
Oh, he's really not.
But wouldn't you have a backstory? Like, if I get caught, I'll say I was going out for food. Or I had to go take a leak.
I was going to say, or I had to pee or something.
So they lock him in like a haunted house training facility where walkers are coming at him left and right. They give him a bat. And I will say this. He knows how to play baseball because he was swinging the bat like someone who plays baseball.
Yeah.
Like Jeffrey Dean Morgan swings the bat like someone who doesn't play baseball. Now, he can hit Abraham in the head. Spoiler, Abraham's dead.
Taking it like a champ.
But he doesn't swing it like a real baseball player. Silas was swinging it like Babe Ruth. Yeah. Like just going for the fences on these walkers. And I guess he earned their respect because they came in. They didn't care if he died or not, but they made it seem like we would have rescued you if you needed it, but you didn't need our help. And apparently he did it in almost the record time. They were impressed by him. And
he's strong, too.
He's strong. And he was so annoyed, he kind of like walked off like, you assholes. At some point, he's bonding with Dennis, the guy who brought him there.
Yeah, the van driver.
Right, who we now know is Huck's boyfriend.
Yeah, her lover. What?
Well, I should say Jennifer's boyfriend because that comes up. So
yes, it does.
He's telling him that his friends may be in danger because they're with someone they don't know is a murderer. And he says, well, I'm sure your friends will be fine. He says, you don't know how dangerous Huck is. And so Dennis, not knowing who he's talking about, his girlfriend, he says, oh, you shouldn't be worried about some old battle axe named Huck. And you're
actually,
like, it's your girlfriend.
It's your girl.
Exactly. Elton finds a shack with medicine in it. Asha finds him, coincidentally, and says the medicine is for her. We find out later on it's for her mother. So her mother, Indira, who runs the farming area, that community, whatever it is dying or is sick and has to take medication. Felix and Will and Iris try to convince Jennifer that CRM killed everyone at Omaha and Campus Colony. And she doesn't believe it. Why would they do that? Something like that would have had to go through my mother. In other words, like her mother would never have approved that.
Oh, please, honey. Your mother's the ringleader.
You know your mother's crazy. You start seeing some doubt in her eyes, like maybe. I don't know.
She has to know deep down in her bones, Mama a little crazy.
I don't remember because I'm jumping around here. But at one part, Felix was in the woods with Jennifer, and Jennifer's walking like 10 feet in front of him for some reason.
And that's weird.
Walker coincidence bullshit. A walker comes out of the woods as they're walking, not making any noise. Felix realizes this is his opportunity. Now, this is the part that didn't make a lot of sense. He takes out his knife like he's going to stab her, but then turns the knife around so it's handled down, and he bangs her in the back of the top of her back, like below
her
neck. Why didn't he just punch her? I don't know what the back of the knife would have done any more than punch. I don't even, like, it didn't make any sense to me. Like,
maybe
it wasn't,
he could get a little bit more blunt force behind it.
Maybe. It was like he had, like, the butt end of a gun, like
a
rifle.
Yeah, like headbutted her with, like,
but it was a little handle knife. He hit her in the back, and she collapsed and couldn't get up. That didn't
seem right.
I find
that hard to believe.
He gets the walker, right? Now, somehow, Huck has now rolled over on her back, conveniently. So that he can lift up the walker by its clothing.
Of course.
And hold it over her face and make her feel like she was about to die. And he says to her something along the lines of, I wanted you to know how it feels to know I want to kill you because I'm eventually going to kill you.
No longer Biffles.
So she goes back without Iris because Iris is going to overthrow the government. That's her goal. And she goes back and she sees her mother and she asks for, can I get a list of names of the survivors of Omaha? And how many people survived? Because, you know, 97,000 people. No matter how big the herd was, some people would have run.
Somebody's got to make it, you would think.
Right. Even if there was 97,000 walkers, at some point they're going to all crouch down and eat one person.
Yeah.
So the rest of them could have run out somehow.
For sure.
Did the guts trick and got out of there.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Although, maybe they didn't know the guts trick. Maybe they don't know how to fight. Maybe because, like, if they're all from behind the wall.
Yeah, they don't.
But even so, you'd, like, push one and, like, run past it. It seems like that you'd like, lock yourself on the roof of a building. You'd find a way. There'd be some survivors. So, Elizabeth, her mother, gets all, like, you don't have a rank high enough to get that information. Really? You can't tell her, like, oh, yeah, we got, like, 100 people out. Why is that top secret?
You would be proud, like, oh my gosh, you know, we were able to save X amount of people.
She says, you shouldn't stir things up. You have enough trouble right now. That's not a normal response to a normal question.
No.
So then Jennifer has a flashback to her getting ready for her mission to infiltrate Omaha. She cuts her face open, which is why she has the scar on her face.
Yeah. She did it to herself. Yeah.
Yep. And her mother says, "Why'd you do that?" She's like, "You know, get ready. I want it to be to look real." And then so she asks her why she did that. And then the next thing she does, she must have known it was coming. She puts her arm across two cinder blocks, and the CRM guard takes the butt of his rifle and breaks her arm.
Oh.
Like right at the joint.
That looked like it freaking hurt.
And that's why when the old couple found her, she had a broken arm and a cut bloody face.
Yep.
And that's why they rescued her. So she did. She took two for the team right there.
I mean, she legitimately was in really bad shape. She lied about it, but she was hurting.
So that was the only thing I thought was cool was the backstory story. The rest of the episode was, yeah, the rest of it was like, okay, fine, no one's going to die. Like, watching The Walking Dead keeps you on edge because you know at any moment someone could die.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike Fear, where really nobody dies of value, although John Dory died, spoiler.
Yeah, that was sad. I was actually really disappointed.
And he wanted off the show. Nobody on this show is going to die for a while. I keep waiting, like, at some point, one of them needs to go. Like, the sisters are going to make it to mostly the end. But I feel like I think Elton needs to go.
Do you feel like one sister is not going to make it to the
yes.
end of this?
Yes, oh. I feel like one sister's
which
not going
sister?
To make it.
Iris.
I feel like Hope may die trying to save her father.
Oh.
Otherwise, like, she's too bright not to have ended up somewhere else.
I know she's so smart.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to make it. That's just my prediction. We're going to break down Fear the Walking Dead, which is a show that has a little more action to it. And we'll do that since we come back right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Wilson Herschel from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Walkers and Talkers podcast with David Brody and Jamie. Have fun.
All right, Jamie. Fear, episode called The Beacon. There's a guy out in a radiation suit and a gas mask looking for food. He kills a walker that had radiation burns, but the cans of food that are in his backpack are full of radiation. This guy has a Geiger counter. He's able to check the radiation. Good for him. I would like to say that we got a tweet from Jessica Scruggs at Lola Waffles 3122. I'm calling BS. Everyone conveniently has a radiation detector. Radiation detector bullshit.
I agree with that. Where are they all getting it? And how do they all know how to use it and read it?
Well, I mean, it's based on the sound and the little dial. Like it's like a battery tester.
But they're just all laying around?
Well, that's the thing. We find out that we're maybe 50 days. Well, we don't know how many days. It's been a few months since the
bomb. One character thinks it's about 50.
Well, no, Will said he's been in the van for 50 days.
Yes.
But he was also living in the hotel with Alicia.
Yes, he was.
So we don't know how long it's been, but the impression is it's been a number of months. But there was no big time jump.
No.
Right, there was no big...
A few months, maybe.
Right, no catching up to The Walking Dead.
No.
Which is, you know, 7-8 years ahead. Right? Right. I'm going to oil this chair. It's creaky. So he can't eat the food. He sees a possum laying there with its guts ripped out.
Ugh.
And he walks away to go look for food. And I thought to myself, we're going to see that possum again, aren't we? We're absolutely going to see that possum again. The guy eventually goes back to the van he's living in. He's counting the days. And it looks like he's been there a number of weeks in that van. He goes outside of his van and there are piles of bodies that are turned to ash. He's out looking for food again. The stream, all the fish are dead from the radiation.
Oh, it is bleak out there.
And he's marking off places on a map where there's no food. Everything in the show is post-nuclear. It's yellow and covered in dirt. Mm. And it's just an awful-looking environment. And, of course, there's zombies. You know, there's walkers
so
there.
It's like, it's really bad.
It's a double apocalypse.
It is.
He's in his van, and he's got no water and no food. And he's got his windows covered with that silver tinfoil paper, like when they wrap you in. Like after the marathon?
Yeah.
He looks out the window and he sees a bunch of people running and killing walkers. Now he noticed that the walkers are being stripped of their clothing. So there's naked walkers running around.
Bizarre.
Right? And he's got a gun to protect himself. I guess he waits till they all leave. He walks outside of his van and six walkers approach him. We assume he killed them with his knife because we don't see them after that. They're just all dead or he's gone.
Yeah.
He goes out exploring. He finds a lighthouse. Okay. At this point, I thought he would run across somebody on the show, right?
That's what I was thinking. He was going to run into somebody.
But he doesn't. He walks up to the bell tower, and there's a walker up there, and he kills it, and he sees that the walker must have died of starvation because there's all food wrappers laying around. And that's when he realizes it's pretty much hopeless. There's no food out here. So he goes back to the possum. You cut to a scene where he's got the possum on a spit and he's cooking the possum, which, you know, if it doesn't have radiation, it's still gross. And
I was going to say, can you even, like, would it burn off the radiation when you're cooking even, it?
Well, he would have eaten the canned food then. And how do you get rid of, like, the rancid and the disease that this possum must have?
Oh, gross.
So he's looking at the possum and he's crying, realizes his life has turned into this.
This is bad.
And a walker approaches him and he's not moving. He's going to let the walker eat him, I guess. Now, if you have a gun, if you're going to kill yourself, kill yourself. Don't
go out in one shot versus being eaten alive.
Yeah, don't do that.
Anyway, yeah, great.
Before the walker gets him, perfect timing, as is everything in this show, three people shoot the walker and tell him he has to come with them. And they take his picture. He asks if they're the ones who've been stripping the bodies. And he tries to run away. But of course, he trips and bangs his head.
Of course.
Yeah. And they take him away. They strip him naked. They hose him down to get all the radiation off of him. And they show his ass.
They do. They showed some hiney.
Have we seen a live ass before on the show?
Who was it? We saw Princess. I guess naked from the back, just the top though. So I don't really think we. No,
we
I don't think we've
on
seen.
Ass?
No, I don't think. Oh, I think we saw Abraham's ass when he was having a thing with Rosita.
Oh, right, and Eugene was watching.
All right. I think that's the only full ass we've had.
Okay, all right, and it wasn't a broken ass like yours.
No, that wasn't a broken ass. And if it was Daryl's ass, I would remember.
Ah, here, yeah. They take him up an elevator, and there's the men that took him are like wearing camouflage, like they're military men. And he punches them like he's Captain America in the elevator. He overpowers them. I'm not sure he'd be able to do that. And he runs off the elevator and right into Strand's apartment. And Strand puts a gun to his head. And Victor says, I'm Victor Strand. And who are you? And that's how the scene ends. And that's when the credits roll. There's a new opening with Strand on a green background that looks like a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but Trev's Chan 2... the YouTube channel, I'm not going to spoil anything. He noticed, because he's up to episode 3 of Fear.
Oh, wow.
Is this episode 1?
Yeah, this is the premiere, episode 1.
Right, so episode 2 came out last week, I think, on AMC Plus.
AMC Plus.
And somehow he watched episode 3. Maybe it's out, maybe he gets advanced copies. But I'll tell you this, one of the main characters of the show is not in the credits as of episode 3.
Oh.
And they didn't die on episode 2 because he didn't mention it.
What?
So, yeah, I'm not going to say who it is because I haven't watched them up to that yet.
Oh, man.
I'm just throwing that out there. That's something to look forward to. Check that out. Make sure you take a look.
I want to see.
Strand and Howard, the guy whose apartment it was, set a table and give Will, his name is Will, we find out, fancy pasta dish and a glass of scotch.
Sounds pretty good to me.
And he says, you can have the food, but you have to answer a few questions. Because, as you know, we have to answer... strangers have to answer questions?
Of always.
He said, what did you do before? The guy says, before the dead started walking or before someone decided to blow up the world? That was hilarious. Like, which before?
Which apocalypse?
He says, I was a senator's aide and I did PR for him. He said, we were in a safe shelter with the senator and a couple of aides, but we were forced to go outside and the senator didn't make it. So we find out he was outside for 50 days, which we talked about. He says, there are people out there stripping the dead. He said, I call them stalkers, but I don't know who they are because they're behind gas masks.
And that's creepy.
Yeah. So I'm letting you know there's some crazy people out there. Strand takes them on a tour. And this guy's playing like on a putting green. There's yoga going on.
Oh, yeah. It was like a spa resort.
People painting. And Strand says, I had my rangers go out and bring back anything worthwhile. Now, I don't know how his rangers found the building. But at the time of the, well, I guess they explain it later. But at that time, I'm like, how did they all find the building? There was a nuclear explosion. So he says, I brought all these people in like you, and I let them stay if they have value. Like, you have to show me you have value, Will.
Yeah.
And Will sees a remember the wall of memories at Commonwealth, all the missing?
Yes, there was a wall of photos.
He says, it's pictures of every walker we found. Whether we killed them or not, whether they were alive or not, we take their pictures so that the people living in the building can see if their loved ones are dead or not and get closure.
Oh.
Will asks him if Strand is looking for anyone and he says, I have everything I need right here.
Avoidance.
Avoidance, right. They go on the roof. They've got solar panels. They're farming. And so I thought to myself, why is there no radiation up there? Why is there
That's what I thought. Like, well, how are you fine with no mask and all of your fruits growing and you're fine?
So then Strand tells him, conveniently, that the weather patterns took the fallout away from them. So the wind blew in a different direction.
Weather fallout bullshit.
Yeah. So he's talking to Will about his philosophy and different things, and Strand decides, he says, you know what? Yeah, I thought about it. You got to go. So Will says, what do you mean I have to go?
Like, out of nowhere, he's like, and goodbye.
Yeah, you got to leave. Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I don't think you share my vision.
We're not vibing. We got to go.
So Strand says, you got to go. And Will's begging him, and Strand says, sorry, I'm not sorry. And so Will's packing up his things, and he takes a charm necklace out of his bag, and he says, here, you will need this more than I will. It's supposed to help you carry a heavy burden. Strand sees it, gets riled up, and says, where did you find this? And Will says, I took it off of a walker, a dead walker. And Strand says, I'll make you a deal. Take me to where you found it, and I will let you stay here. So I thought it was nice.
Yeah.
If you remember, this is the necklace he gave Alicia last season.
That's why I thought, bullshit, yeah. You got that from Alicia, not a walker. You're lying. You're leading him into somewhere.
Yeah. Like, that's the necklace that he gave Alicia to help her stay grounded because he didn't think he could stay and be himself.
Red flag.
Right. So Strand and Will and a few other guys go out on horseback. Now, they're all wearing face masks, right?
Like, gas masks.
Right. I immediately called horse bullshit for the first time that the horses are not affected by the radiation.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. You're right. They're breathing it in. They would die.
Yeah. So our new listener, a new listener of the Brooklyn Boys, I'll remind you, Michael Southmade, he tweeted at us, love you guys, looking forward to every podcast you do. I'm sorry Jamie is sick, but I can't wait for the next one because I'm talking radiation horse bullshit on fear, and you, David, are the man. Well, thank you.
Michael, you are right.
I'm up to episode 160 of the Brooklyn Boys podcast and can't get enough of those rants. Yes, Michael, thank you. You have, at this point, another 34 episodes to go of the Brooklyn Boys podcast. So the horses apparently don't have a problem with radiation because everyone's on horses.
Oh, my God. I did. Duh.
Yeah. Strand says he was at a settlement, but they asked him to leave. And he said, my exit wasn't voluntary. And I want to try to make it up to them to earn my way back. And Strand, in typical Strand fashion, says, success is the best revenge. Don't spend a moment trying to make things right. Focus on trying to show them they were wrong.
That's fucked up.
Right. But that's his philosophy.
he's lost it.
And he says, if you secure a place at the tower, you won't need anyone. History is written by the victors. No pun intended, I'm assuming, on his part.
Haha, victors.
Yeah. It starts raining. Now, they've all taken their gas masks off, but it starts raining. And Will says, you got to put your gas masks on because the rain pulls contaminants out of the air.
Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know if I would have thought that, but he knew that. They put their masks back on. And again, the poor horse does not have a mask.
Oh.
Will says they take him to the overpass where he's been living in the truck.
Yes, they're right there.
Will says, I find it kind of ironic that you're looking for someone when you said you had everything you need. And Strand says, I do. And Will says, then how come you're out here looking for her?
Oh, there it is.
And Strand says, I never told you I was looking for a woman. Now, at that point, I didn't realize what was going on. I thought for a second that he just assumed that only a woman would drive him that crazy.
I knew immediately he meant Alicia.
And then I remembered, I think Strand is gay, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Right?
Yeah. So,
right, or bi, at least. Strand tells his men he believes they were lured out there under false pretenses, and they turn their guns on him, on Will. Strand says to him, where is Alicia? So now he's figured it out. He knows that, you know, he's looking for Alicia.
This is bullshit. She's not dead. Okay, buddy, where is she?
Now, before he could say anything, perfect timing bullshit, the stalkers show up and start firing automatic weapons at a group of men standing in the middle of a street, and
not
they
doing
miss.
Anything.
They
yeah,
miss.
And they miss. They're and they weren't doing anything wrong.
Apparently, they're stormtroopers. So as they break up, one of them shoots Will in the leg. So yeah. He falls down. That attracts a ton of walkers that, for some reason, only sneak up on the stalker guys. They don't
of
come.
Of course.
Now, Will sees walkers in front of him because Strand picks him up. But those walkers don't seem to come any closer for a little while until Strand and Will jump in the van. The other walkers from the other side sneak up on the stalkers that are firing automatic weapons and eat at least two of them.
Oh, God. I know that was... they do.
What I know you don't hear them because you're firing your weapons, but if you're firing weapons and you've survived in the apocalypse this long, don't you think walkers are going to be attracted?
Of course. That's like rule 101. You make noise, here they come.
Exactly. So Strand has him in the van and he asks about Alicia again. And Will says, I don't know anything about her. I don't know what you're talking about. And then Strand sees a box on it from the Franklin Hotel, which is where they locked Alicia in the basement. That was the bomb shelter.
Yep.
And Strand remembers that's where they brought Alicia.
That's where Teddy left her.
So he says, I no longer need you, Will. And Will says, you should not go out there, right? If you go after her, she will never forgive Strand for going after her. And he says, I need to go to show her I was right. So he wants to fight Alicia so he can show her that his way of being a selfish prick allowed him to build and live and thrive.
Oh, now she's going to love you just more, just that you wanted to prove that point and be a dick about it.
Right. He opens the door and throws the door, the van doors open, and you see walkers approach the van.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
And so because he didn't care if he lived or not at that point. And he manages to get up with his bum leg and grab the doors and close them. Now, remember, right outside the van where he and Will jumped in the van to avoid walkers is the horse tied up.
Oh, it's going to die.
Did you watch the episode?
I did.
So what are you talking about?
I don't remember them taking it.
Strand got on the horse.
Oh, I watched it so long ago. We get it early. I forgot.
Oh, you're scaring me.
I'm traumatized by Buttons, okay, in season 5 of The Walking
Dead. Oh, my God. Let Buttons go. Spoiler, Buttons is dead.
Buttons died savagely.
Anyway, Strand takes the horse, from what I remember, and the walkers don't eat the horse. They were out there with the horse.
That's horse bullshit, because every horse in The Walking Dead gets eaten.
Exactly.
By people or walkers.
Right. Strand goes, he finds the lighthouse, and he sets up shop in the top of the lighthouse. For some reason, he goes back down, opens up the doors to the lighthouse, and goes outside. Then he goes back inside and doesn't close the doors.
I know. What the hell was that?
Will comes out of the fog and holds him at gunpoint. Will tells him, I knew the whole time who you were. I knew you were Strand. I was testing you to see if you were worth saving. Now he's got him inside the lighthouse at gunpoint. He said Alicia was trapped in a bunker against her will with Teddy's followers, and it didn't make her a cynical asshole like it made you. She's a real leader. People follow you because they fear you, not out of respect. If they step out of line, you'll turn on them. That's not leadership.
Snap.
He says, I learned leadership from the senator and from Alicia.
Wow.
Will says, Alicia asked him to do something that he wouldn't do, and it would have protected everyone but her, and I wouldn't do it because he loves her.
Lerv.
He thought if he brought Strand to Alicia, she would let him back in the community. But after what he's seen today, that Strand is an asshole, she wouldn't recognize you, Strand. You're just evil. And Strand basically says, yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, he's like, no, she wouldn't recognize me. You're right. You got me.
Strand says he's the one that gave Alicia that necklace. And Will says, I know. I knew it would get your attention. Strand says, can I have the medallion back? Because at this point, he's taken the medallion from Strand, right?
He took it.
If you took it because you wanted it, right? So then Strand says, can I have it back? Well, why'd you take it then? I don't understand that.
It went back and forth a few times, though.
So the only reason that Will took the necklace was so that Strand could ask for it back.
Mm-hmm.
And that we wouldn't know. It's like three-card Monty. Got to follow the red card.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no reason for Will to ask for the medallion back if he was going to just give it back to Strand.
Exactly.
So he leans forward to give him the medallion rather than just toss it to him. And Strand pulls him down and tries to overpower him.
Classic move. I freaking knew that was going to happen. I'm like, you're an idiot. Just toss it to him, you idiot.
But of course, somehow Will, with his bum leg, overpowers Strand and says, That's the third time you've tried to kill me. Thought if I brought you to where Alicia is, it would bring us back together. But she's better off without you. Everyone is better off without you. He opens the doors to the lighthouse, and there's a herd of walkers walking towards the lighthouse. Why are they walking towards the lighthouse?
The light's not on. Didn't they turn it on?
No.
It wasn't on yet.
He opens the doors and he stands there like he wants the walkers to eat him.
That was bizarre. He stood there.
It's bizarre that the walkers are walking towards the lighthouse. There was no noise. There was no light. There was fog. How are they all walking towards the door exactly?
In the fog with no noise.
Yeah. So Strand runs up and drags him back in and closes the doors. And Will says, I know some of those walkers. In the fog, in the dark, he says, some of them are from the bunker. Something bad must have happened.
Ooh.
And Will says, I didn't see Alicia out there with the walkers. But then again, I didn't see everyone. And Strand says, then let's go outside and find out. They assume because there's other people there from the bunker.
That she's there.
So Strand goes out. The two of them go out and it's dark. They can't see. Will finds a little bit of fuel and pours it in the generator to get the lighthouse light going. That's right.
Yeah.
After about a minute, the lantern burns out after they've killed a bunch of walkers. And now there's fog and you can't see in front of you more than a foot.
Can't see anything. Go back.
Right. Strand is killing them with his sword. He takes out a bunch of them in the dark. One of them is about to bite Strand in the shoulder and Will shoots it. Perfect timing, Will. Thank you.
Strand says,
why'd you save me? And Will says, because you care about her. You do. You do care about her. So in other words, you have a redeeming quality. He said, you don't run into fog like that because you want to prove you're right.
Exactly.
Well, to a normal person, that's probably right. But Strand absolutely would run into the fog to prove he was right.
I'm right, damn it.
Yep. He says, you want to save her. I want to save her. So then Strand says, so let's go do that. Let's go save her. All right, so they're off to save the wizard. They're going to go to the hotel because that's where they think that's the last place they saw her. We'll finish the recap of this episode right after this.
Hey, Xander Berkeley, Gregory from The Walking Dead. And you're listening to David Broden and Jamie on the Walkers and Talkers podcast.
Great. Can we ask you to do it one more time? The mic's down there.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Is it still running?
Yes, it's still running.
Hey, it's Xander Berkeley, Gregory from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to David Brody and Jamie on the Walkers and Talkers podcast.
All right, we're back. They go to the Franklin Hotel, and everything above ground is destroyed from the nuclear explosion.
Of course.
Again, they are wearing gas masks, but the horse isn't.
The horse is still kicking.
Right. They leave it outside just by itself rather than bring it into the hotel.
Oh, my God. And nothing ate it. Come on now.
Again, right. What does it stink? Is that a body odor?
I don't know.
They see that there's no one left in the hotel. Strand says, how many people lived here? And he said, about 128, including the senator. He said, I was upstairs cleaning the ventilation system or some shit, and Teddy's men came in and killed everyone. They walk into a giant conference room that looks like the UN.
Yeah, it did.
There's paintings on the wall. It looks like a painting of Alicia walking towards a painting of a man.
Yes.
Like she's looking for him. There's a note on the podium, which has like a presidential seal on it. And it says, for Will. And inside the envelope, it says Padre, which of course you know means father, or the baseball team that plays in San Diego. Strand says, what does Padre mean? And Will is not very helpful. He says, I don't know what it means, but it's probably going to get her killed. I don't know what it means. It might not even exist. So maybe she was told that Padre was a community?
Yeah, because Strand's like, it? Like, what is it?
But whatever it is, Will doesn't know. Didn't Alicia tell him? Like,
yeah,
you know,
you'd think he'd leave him a freaking clue that he'd understand Alicia.
He's obviously lying because if she says Padre, she knows, first of all, she knew he'd come back, even though she kicked him out, I guess.
Yeah.
And he says, I was hoping to find this Padre thing first so she wouldn't have to. And obviously Will loves her and he admits he needs her. And Strand says, I love her too. And now they're best buddies. They leave together with walkers pulling a cart. So they're walking and they have a cart now. And they put the lighthouse in the cart. And the walkers are pulling the cart.
Yeah, what the hell? That thing's heavy. How the hell they get it in there?
But the walkers, I don't know why no one's done this before that I remember. they are walking in front of the walkers, and the walkers are trying to eat them, so they're pulling the cart.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Very clever. Clever.
Very good. They put the light on top of the office building where they're living to work as a beacon, which I thought, how'd you get it wired up?
That's what I thought. And you had gas and it wired up and it happened to fit. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. You had a generator to power it up.
Yeah.
But just that's like a wink, wink. Just assume it worked. A really gross, melted face walker goes by the camera. Really good special effects makeup.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, now I wrote, here's what I wrote. The light is going to attract a ton of walkers and probably a lot of stragglers looking for a place to live.
That's, it's basically to the dead and alive saying, come here, come right. here, come here.
Strand says, Alicia's the closest thing I have to family. You said she can't lead alone. Strand says, I've watched many people try to lead and fail. They all fell short for the same reason. Love, right? It doesn't make you strong. People you love, they destroy you. Mm. And Will says, that light isn't to attract Alicia, is it? And Strand says, no, it's to keep other people away as far as possible. In other words, it's going to bring
every walker in.
Every walker, and this way we'll have a wall of walkers. No one will try to get in. So here's what I wrote. Will is going over the side of the roof. That's what I wrote.
You called it right away?
I wrote, Will is going over the side. Yeah, because Strand,
oh
is,
my God.
Strand is mental, and he doesn't want this. This guy is going to try to share Alicia's affection. And so Will says, you know she'll find this place, and she'll get through to you. Now, it's one of those things you should just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to win Strand over? You're like, she's going to come here, and she's going to change you. Oh. Which is exactly what he did. Remember he asked Will to leave because he didn't feel like he believed in the same things?
Yeah, they had different morals and values.
So I'm like, he already tried to kick you out. So Strand grabs him by the shirt, whatever, and throws him over the side of the building to die in the parking lot.
Shit, he didn't even flinch. He's like, boop, and he just went over.
That's some evil shit.
That is dark. That is dark.
Strand then says, after this, Alicia will never want to have anything to do with me again, which is what I want. Now, first of all, how is she going to know you threw Will off the roof?
I think he's going to tell her if she comes up.
Yeah, but you could have, I mean, you could have killed him anyway, a different way. You could have just, I don't know. You're gonna have to find
her. By the time she gets there, if he's roaming around, I mean, you would think he got hurt another way.
Right, you're hoping that she comes there, even though you don't want her to come there. She fights through the walkers, even though you don't think she can fight through the walkers.
Yeah.
So that you can tell her, Alicia, I killed your pal Will. Leave me alone. Don't ever forgive me. Howard, the roommate, says, do you want us to go down there and get a picture of him for the wall? And Strand says, no. Nobody here is looking for him.
Oh, my God. He's psychotic.
Right. And Howard says, that light is going to draw more people. And he says, maybe the people that you used to be with, like Morgan Jones. And Strand says, I'm not worried. No one will get to me. They'll have to go through them first, meaning the herd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan can make it. Scroll
down.
He doesn't die, remember?
Yep, scroll down to Will. Walkers are eating his legs. They eventually stop eating his legs. I guess they're full. And he's turned into, then he turns into a walker. So
oh,
I guess once he turns,
eye was coming out.
I guess
oh.
once he turns, they stop eating him.
Yeah, because then I guess he smells different now.
Right,
he
the minute he
dead.
Turns, right, his side of his face is smashed in.
Oh, I think was I wrong or was his spinal cord coming out the back of his?
I don't know, but here's something else. Unless he bounced, he was falling back first.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. You're right. He was.
So did he bounce up? And roll over? Did he roll over in pain? Because he was alive on the ground.
Maybe he bounced so hard he just flipped over.
But it looks
I
like he
know.
Landed on his face, right? His face got smashed.
Oh, yeah. His face and his eyeball was coming out. Unless...
Did he turn his head?
He landed so hard his eye just popped out.
But it looks like he landed face down because his face down smash was there.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, for
so
sure.
So how did he turn himself in midair over and then land on his... If you're falling... Would you really go face first?
No, I wouldn't want to fall face first.
Yeah. So that's how it ends. Will is dead. Scenes for next week. Morgan and Grace go out looking for a new place to live. I guess the submarine is not great anymore.
With the baby.
And of course they run into trouble. They run into more people. And, you know, mayhem ensues.
Always.
I think they show Dwight and Sherry in one of the sneak peeks, but nobody from the helicopter.
Hmm.
And Aisha Tyler directed the episode, and she joins the cast at least for one episode. I feel like she's going to be eaten.
You do?
I feel like, well, she said on Talking Dead, she saw the role and thought, this role is so great, I have to play it. Well, when you're the director, yeah. But also, you gave yourself a job, you're going to get paid. Like, you...
Exactly.
You didn't audition anyone, you took the job, and now
you just took it.
You gave yourself a job. That's got to be nice. I wish I could do that.
Must be nice.
I should be the host of the show. I'm going to host the show. So, episode 2 is out already on AMC Plus, so I'm not sure if I'll watch it early. And the trailer for World Beyond, it looked okay. You go look on YouTube for it.
Yeah.
Something's got to happen. I think Jada shows up in episode 4.
We need to see her. I want to see her.
Yeah, I got to see something. So episode 3, I don't know. World Beyond. They better have, like, somebody better mention, like, Rick, you know, something.
Yeah, Rick Crawford.
Remember that guy, Rick?
Rick with the beard? Oh, right? Yeah, that guy.
We don't know where he is anymore, but he was here.
He escaped. Where is he?
Yeah.
Something.
All right, we managed to do an episode in the third. All right, Jamie, I'm out of breath. It's got to be time.
What time is it?
It's time to shut this shit down.